Okay, thank you, Chairman, for the introduction. So I'm here to present our work about prediction of delamination under fatigue loadings. Prediction of delamination, we've seen one of the two approaches that is cohesive elements. The other one is a virtual crack closure technique of VCCT. At the moment, at least for delamination modeling, cohesive elements are winning in the sense that they are way more popular in the literature. I thought of showing you the amount of papers published about cohesives against the one of VCCT, but I can just point out that actually the name of the session today is Cohesive Zone Modeling. So why is CZM so more popular than VCCT? Let's take a look at what VCCT actually is. First of all, it's a computational technique to measure the strain energy release rate at nodes of the crack front. So first difference, it's a node-wise technique. It's widely used for quasi-static simulation today. For fatigue, a bit less. What we found was the most common approach used both in the literature and often in industry actually also was the way Abacus implements it via this direct cyclic or DC algorithm. Basically, this algorithm approximates the load dehistory via Fourier series. It is very used for low cycle fatigue, so plasticity, but if you use it with VCCT, combined with a Paris law, it can be used to predict delamination propagation as well. So how does it compare? We consider DC to be the standard for this because it's the widely used in literature. And how does it compare against cohesive zone model? So first of all, there was a paper from almost 10 years ago that compared the two approaches. Accuracy-wise, they were quite similar. Computationally, we had from 2 to 15 times more expensive the VCCT, the direct cyclic, against cohesive elements. I'm going to give you a couple of seconds to answer in your mind to a question that is 15 times faster, slightly faster, okay faster, or significantly faster? So, the other point was also that with the direct cyclic, we have a limit on the input parameters that we can give to the algorithm. Especially for the Paris law, we can give only one coefficient and one exponent, C and M. And we know this is wrong. Well, it's problematic because both C and M depend on the mode mixity. And this is what caused, in another paper, some problems of prediction and inaccuracies, because if we take a look at a crack front for a complex structure like this one, we have areas in which mode 1 is not very important and other areas in which it's predominant. This is where we saw an opportunity to improve an established technique, and we proposed an alternative approach that uses VCCT to model fatigue delamination. It's called sequential static fatigue. You'll understand now why. And it starts with the user creating the model. I'm using the example of a double cantilever beam, a standard one. What the user does is it creates the model, so preprocessing, and it creates the bonded surface, meaning all the nodes that belong to the surface that will be interested by the delamination. And really the job of the user here is done, because what happens is that a Python algorithm actually launches the first simulation associated to a number of cycles, 1. Python itself extracts the results on the crack front in terms of strain energy release rate and calculates the number of nodes required to release at least one node of the bonded nodes. So basically, to advance the crack front by at least one element length. And this is done in Python, and the advantage of this is you see it here. We can use either any Paris law, so we can input the maximum and the minimum strain energy release rate, so eventually use the delta, and also give a Paris law that is dependent on the mode mixity. What happens is that still Python, based on the results of this simulation, redoes a sort of pre-processing of another simulation with the updated crack front. And of course, this simulation is associated to a new number of cycles, that is the previous one, plus the new number of cycles required to increase the crack size. And this is why sequential static fatigue, this is actually a series of static simulation that Python basically launches, extracts results from, and uses these results to prepare the next simulation. Up until a certain number of a predefined number of cycles. This is how the fatigue load history is simulated. And also I want to point out that we didn't change the formulation of the VCCT. It's the one already implemented in Abacus and already quite widely used in the literature. We validated this against some experimental data, quite common for validation, mode 1, mixed mode 50%, and mode 2. We have applied moment, so constant propagation speed. And these are the results. It's quite accurate. It looks like there is a slight overprediction, but actually what happens is that this overprediction is due to the fact that we are running 3D simulation. So whereas we have a theoretical value of the applied strain energy release rate, locally, you can reach slightly higher value of it. How does it compare to the direct cyclic? We see it's fairly similar. There are some differences, but actually what we found out is that the differences between the direct cyclic and our approach mainly lies on what I told you before, that Fourier approximation that the direct cyclic does. So we believe our model to be actually more accurate, even slightly, but more accurate than the direct cyclic approach. How does it compare computationally? This is a table in which we tested four simulation cases. The first one is mode 1 propagation of only half a millimeter with a finer mesh. And then we also tested mode 1, mixed mode, and mode 2, the one I showed you before, 10 millimeters propagation, but with a coarser mesh. And you see here we're about at least a day and a half of simulation time. Then, of course, in the same workstation, we run our code, and we got, I'm going to remove that, we got simulation times that are significantly faster. Remember the 15 of the cohesive zone models? This is really overshadowed, I would say. This is what we got. It was very interesting. We were very, very happy with it. I would have liked to end my presentation with this nice result, but actually I also have to show you when our approach doesn't work very well. We used also as validation case the benchmark test that was published by, among others, our hosts here in Girona. It's a reinforced DCB. Basically, we have a quite wider DCB with two reinforcing plates up and down. And they tested it with first a load history of a certain load, and after that, other cycles with higher load. And what happens is that for the first part, we got quite interesting results in terms of both crack propagation and also trend of the stiffness reduction, slightly over-predicting the propagation speed. You see that the stiffness is lower than the experiment. When it failed completely is in the second part. Why is that? Of course, the problem is in the prediction of the crack propagation. And you see that if we compare the simulation against the experiments for a given time, we over-predict the propagation speed. The reason for this is that when dealing with curved crack fronts, a node-wise technique like VCCT fails to capture correctly the curve of the crack front. And actually, we have where we have those steps, we have a sort of, let's call it a strain energy release rate concentration, so higher values than what they actually is. And what we're doing to improve this is actually we're working on remeshing the simulation case we're working on. Remeshing usually is not very well considered, I would say. But why is that? It's because between propagation steps, you have to manually remesh it. But remember, the user only steps in at the beginning. Here, Python is doing all the job, so actually, it's fine to remesh. And if we compare, for example, the result of the DCB, the default mesh with orthogonal rectangular mesh compared to an orthogonal mesh, or meaning orthogonal with respect to the crack front, shows much more smooth prediction of, for example, the strain energy release rate, whereas with the current mesh, we get what I told you before about the peaks node by node. So that's it for my talk. To conclude again, we developed this new model. It's quite versatile. It's based currently on the VCCT that is already implemented in Abacus. It showed quite a good correlation with experimental results, but I think the biggest selling point really is this one, the reduction of the computational time required by the prediction. Part of what I showed you today is already published in this paper, if you're interested. And with that, I would thank you for your attention, and I'm open to questions.
So, thank you. Are there any questions? Yes, sir.
It's just a small question. When you do this remeshing, how do you think that it will affect the computational time?
That's a good question. The thing is that what we have at the moment, the most expensive part of the computational time is the simulation, not the Python preparation. So I would say it won't affect that significantly, but I cannot grant that because it's still under study.
But isn't it also when you remesh, it means that you are applying finer mesh, meaning that you are also increasing the number of nodes, and the computational time, which is done by Python, also can increase.
So currently, actually, is only not a finer mesh. It's just the shape of the mesh. Okay. But again, this is why I don't remember the name of the presentation, I think. But at least in the paper, there is a versatile approach. Since Python is doing all the job, you can do whatever you want, meaning that one of the things we were thinking of doing is actually this one. Since we are having this remeshing, we might as well increase the mesh size locally, if needed, and decrease it elsewhere to eventually push computational efficiency even more.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Hi, Luca. Thank you for a very nice presentation.
Thank you.
One of the things I have some issues about VCCT is the simulation, the representation of the fracture process zone.
Okay.
In case you have some relevant fracture process zone compared to the size of the model, how do you think this could be addressed or minimized using this type of technique?
So what we are doing here, no, the other way around, is really take a technique that is established and sort of pushing the boundaries of what Abacus can do with Python. But nobody says that in these simulations you have to use VCCT, for example. So potentially you can implement this technique with cohesive elements, although you will lose that information of, which I think is interesting with cohesives, of what you said, basically, the fracture process zone. There is also another thing I would like to clarify based on your question. I think that if we take a look at what we're doing, the link with micromechanics, I realize, is not really deep, I would say. But I would argue that the link with micromechanics should be related to the model that we use. In this case, for example, Paris Law. The link with between Paris and any micromechanics happening there, even in the literature, is considered to be a bit not very deep. So our approach was mainly use established models, but if you want to capture more micromechanicals details, I think you have to work on the models, not on the approach how to use them.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So I think we can have one more short question if anybody has. No? So let's thank again the speaker.